you're hearing this before listening to the weekly show, are you sure you meant to do that? If not, stop now and go do that first.
Please note that the following program includes adult themes and language.
You're listening to Extra Large on Discourse.
Oh yeah, I'm back.
I don't know who wrote that sting, but God, it's bad. It needs rewriting.
Just give me a minute. I'm just going to pop out for a sec. I'll be back.
He won't. He'll be back with the baby.
Yeah, no, not quite.
Extra Large on Discourse. You're listening to Extra Large on Discourse.
I really like that high energy when we run out of time at the end. But probably we should have just come up with a winner. Is anyone? How many people are listening to the broadcast?
I don't know. I
16.
Can't tell.
16. And we've got comments coming up the wazoo, but I can only see three, apparently.
20 comments. Leighton was the last mention, was not fair. There's only 9 apps on Windows Phone 7. Ha, ha, ha. There's 2 votes now for Break Stuff.
Right.
So, yeah. Should we bother with the poll, or should we? We have to do the poll now, because it's in the normal one-hour episode.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think it's probably... Oh, we've got another vote for Break Stuff. Nigel Ferguson in the chat room says Break Stuff. So, I mean, maybe it's a foregone conclusion, but that just means that people, you know, it's going to be an easy decision in the poll.
More votes for Break Stuff. Another one. So, yeah, what was that? So you have to say what you're going to break, and then if you win, you have to break it and video it.
Yeah, that's it, in order to get the thing. Nigel Ferguson, Break Stuff. Was that the same person that already voted?
Yeah.
I don't think you can vote several times in a row. Let's open up the toot bag. Let's open up the toot bag. So
we don't have any other
be?
Content, so our Excel's going to be tiny.
Yeah, I don't think we even really need one at all. Smash Stuff, it is a tough phone, isn't it? That's from Kelly Dwen. And that's actually a really good point. And Mel A says Hulk Smash, and Cheese Slice It says Break Stuff, and Matt Dwen says Smash It, and James NZCH says Breaking Stuff does sound nice, and Nigel Ferguson says Break Stuff.
Or maybe you were right then.
So, I mean, this is, I mean, they know what they want, and what they want is wanton destruction. It's not very eco-friendly though, is it? It's not exactly reduce, reuse. It's not exactly recycle. Might be recycled, I suppose.
Yes. Okay, so that's it. We're going to have to then get the entries for. And how do we decide who wins? So let's. Gary's won for the idea of breaking stuff.
Yeah.
But then, how do we decide on who wins the thing to be broken? Is it the highest value?
I think it's just the thing that we are most excited by. I mean, if someone came up with a dirty old car that was only worth $50, but they could come up with, you know, a diesel fertilizer diesel bomb and blow it the fuck up on a beach somewhere, probably illegally, but managed to YouTube it and then anonymously make sure we could get access to it and, you know, secretly somehow let us know that it was them that did it, I mean, I think that we would be honor bound to give it to the people that blew the fuck out of a car. But it could also be, you know, break glass. That might be the winner. Who knows?
No. Well,
unlikely.
Maybe with,
unlikely.
You know, shoot it, break it, all sorts of stuff. Yeah. Good.
Blow. Yeah, shoot something. Yeah, anything that has explosions. Oh no, it's. I mean, it's not. Anyone could win. You just got to come up with a creative smashing, I guess. How the hell are we going to manage to convince people? Maybe we should record a little thing to put on the end of the show there. So that people don't have to hear the because we want entries, or are we going to tell people to enter next week?
Well, no, they can. Yeah, people are going to eat. Yeah, let's add an addendum to the end of the show.
Yeah,
and we'll tweet it, and so people can start entering as of Thursday. We need to put a clear timeline on it too, a cutoff date.
We need people to have time to get it done.
Well, hang on, aren't we saying that they give us their idea? And
oh, that's
they only
true.
Do it.
Yeah, no, that's true.
What if they don't follow through?
If they don't follow through, they don't get the phone.
Okay, there you go.
And we humiliate them, we shame them in front of our enormous listener base.
Corrections.
When Morgan said enormous listener base this episode, he may have been exaggerating.
Corrections.
It will become enormous when people realise that we're giving away Windows phones in a couple of weeks.
That's what she said.
Yeah, I know. I get enormous when I talk about Windows phones.
Do you get a big soft? Man, that's like a 7-month callback. That's a good callback. I'll take it. Okay, well, we've got some more stuff from the toot bag, so might as well do that. And now that we're in the
let's open up the toot bag.
Now that we're in the,
you're listening to Extra Large on Discourse.
Yeah, and that. So Rob Isaac. No, we already did that bit. Nigel Ferguson, who I think is in the chat room. So excuse us for speaking about you right in front of your face. Just finished listening to Discourse Extra Large Show. First time listener and enjoyed it. We'll be listening again. Well, we are really, really glad to have you, Nigel. And we hope you've enjoyed this show as well. Although this Extra Large, very unlikely to be as long as last week's. Very unlikely.
Unlikely to be published. We'll see how we go.
You reckon?
What was your last link there about study compares IQ with browser choice?
Yeah. It's a funny one. I think that it might be misleading. I didn't open it. I'm opening it now so I can see the graph. Doobie-doobie-doo. Internet Explorer users are kind of stupid, study suggests. IE6 users, apparently, the average intelligence as of 2011, about 84, looking at the graph. Average intelligence of IE6 users in 2006, about 107. So big change. And the smartest browser users, apparently, according to this, is Opera. So if you
bullshit.
Yeah, probably bullshit. Second smartest is Camino.
What?
Yeah, Camino. That's like a Linux one, I guess, right? The third smartest is IE with Chrome Frame.
Ooh, interesting. But isn't this just going by size of survey? Because those are tiny browsers.
Exactly. That's exactly it. The thing is that, I mean,
Camino is
with a larger base, your average is going to be lower because you will be more average. I think that the early adopters are probably unlikely to be the thickies. I mean, I think it probably just stands to reason. Chrome, probably in the middle of the pack. Firefox and Chrome and Safari, pretty similar. Safari, according to this, smartest. And rising. There you go. Oh, apparently, Leighton Duncan says Camino is a native Mac version of Firefox.
Oh, right.
Didn't know that. Oh, I was thinking of Conqueror. I think I was thinking of Conqueror. That's the Linux one, right?
Yeah, that was pretty good. I was using Conqueror long before any other browser had tabs. That was pretty cool.
I bet Conqueror, so smart, it's not even on the graph. Just a guess.
So the more popular browsers, the bigger browsers get a lower rating because the fact that everyone uses them drags us down.
I think that's it. The average person probably has average intelligence. I'd say that everyone on Discourse probably has above average intelligence because, I mean, you are people of taste and distinction, clearly. Leighton Duncan says more or less. When I talk about the averages,
I was talking about browsers still.
What?
More or less open source Camino Apple browser.
Ah, okay.
More or less.
Yeah, I don't know how far away they are in terms of the audio buffer lag. Is there anything else that we want to talk about on the show?
Code conference.
Code.
Possibly code being 2012. Renamed. We'll see how we go. We're working with designers at the moment. So this is going to be the Excel.
Oh, no, designers, they're going to ruin it.
No. They're going to make it awesome. But there's been some really exciting news behind the scenes that I really want to tell people about, but I can't yet because I don't want to
change. Make sure you get bevels and drop shadows and a lens flare.
Absolutely.
Demand a lens flare from them.
We sure will. But, I'm super excited, and I can't wait to share more. It's really good.
Code2012.com.
Yeah.
Code2012.com.
Well, you have to call it that because you've got the domain name now.
I'm going to sing a song, code2012.com.
I have other... we're giving designers reasonably free rein, so I've actually registered other domains just in case because we're working through different ideas. So,
What's the purpose of code2012.com?
It is a hardcore developer conference. Just
for
the code.
Developers or the
so like people that build houses and so on.
Software developers, sorry.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm not very interested in that.
Not really in John's wheelhouse, I'm afraid.
I'm not very interested in it either, because although I spend some time coding, I'm definitely not a hardcore developer, so I'm not the demographic. I think you're probably going to have a good time, though. People have said very good things about that little conference that you were running down in wherever, that tiny little dev thing.
Dev Camp, yeah. That's kind of one company's conference, so yeah, I would have liked to.
Oh, yeah, but it was you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I came with the idea. It was good fun.
Own it.
But no, code's going to be not an unconference, not a do-your-own-thing conference.
We've got a winner.
There'll be speakers,
yeah,
and they will be given they will come with topics, and they will have PowerPoint, and they will talk.
So, will it be an Eyes Front conference?
Yeah, so I guess Mark's uninvited.
I think that you'd be insane not to invite Mark.
That's 2 weeks in a row we're mentioning him now. He's going to get a complex.
No, I think he was perfectly happy with last week's mention, and I think he'd probably be happy with almost anything.
But no, Mark's given us some ideas actually, because we are lacking listeners in the ideas for primo Java speakers, because we're trying to be all things to all people, and we have plenty of awesome speakers in kind of mobile, web, and Windows land, but we need some good Java speakers.
I said he'd be happy with almost anything because he's easygoing, not for any other reason. I should have said more. BBB Dylan, I would like to talk to you about cameras.
Okay. Hey, before you do,
yep.
I just very briefly go back to that mm-hmm. thing we mentioned about Samsung and Apple. I just find that whole fucking thing so annoying.
Yeah.
As a consumer, it just makes me angry. It makes me angry that companies. I mean, I understand there's business things in it, but it's just so anti-consumer.
It makes me annoyed because Apple doesn't need to do it.
Why?
They're so dominant in tablet space that why are they bothering?
Because they are afraid. They want to remain dominant, and
nothing to fear. They're so far ahead.
Yeah, but you say that now. But well, I mean, look, maybe, at, you know, yeah. they also were really far ahead with the iPhone, and look at
they
where
still
that's,
are. They still are.
Well, to some extent, but
look how much money they've got. They're selling like motherfuckers.
It's the top-selling phone.
They're the biggest handset manufacturer. Just because it's not the biggest OS, I think that it is significant that Android is the biggest smartphone OS. But Apple still are by far the largest smartphone manufacturer.
Yeah, but I mean, God, so much can change so quickly. You think
and
about,
I don't
you
think
know.
They care about only having 28% of a really lucrative market when they are used to having 4%.
I'm interested to see. I'd love to see the stats on who has made money off Android, because I don't think
HTC.
You reckon?
Yep, of course.
Well, presumably mostly the handset manufacturers. I would assume that all. There was that thing the other day I saw. sorry, 40% of Android handsets get returned or something. I find that incredibly hard to believe. It's very dubious.
It sounds like bullshit to me. It's just too big a number.
Yeah. I know. I mean, can you imagine 4 out of 10 buyers walking back into the shop and going, "No, this isn't an iPhone."
No, I can't.
Maybe 2 or 3 in America where it's common, much more common for people to do that sort of thing. There's more people who just return stuff because it doesn't let up.
Really,
like
in America though, where the consumer protection laws are fucking weak as shit.
But they do seem to have more of a culture of returning things, don't they?
Yeah. So things I've read, just anecdotes. I'm not just talking about Android. I'm just talking in general. People seem to just rock back and say, "I want to swap this," or "I don't like it," or whatever.
Anyway, I find that whole... The other thing was all those tweets about, Apple having more money than the US government or whatever. It sort of scares me a bit that Apple does have so much money, because there's a whole lot of things that, potentially these publicly traded companies, like Apple could probably buy Microsoft. It could buy... just about any PC manufacturer it wanted. Well, it could buy any PC manufacturer it wanted. It's like I'm all okay with it, but it starts to scare me if they do that, because I'm not much of a fan of Apple, and I don't like the way their business is heading. And it scares me that they're in a position now where they can start buying things and doing to those things
and make them better. Oh my God.
No.
I think that's dangerously anti-competitive.
Yeah, I find that that's the thing. Anti-competitive and to some extent anti-consumer. Certainly anti-some consumers.
Mm.
Yeah. They're very pro a certain type of consumer.
I kind of agree, and I can see where you're coming from, but what's the alternative? What's the end game? I mean, Linux, right, is the kind of, I guess you could say, the antithesis, and that's just fucked and bullshit. Well, it's terrible, terrible for users, useless, you know, experience, and you know you can't get anything done.
Yeah, the same. The same is true. Like, okay, so, I mean, a lot of my more specific Apple thinking has been based on the Final Cut Pro X thing, and while I'm not a Final Cut Pro user, I'm a video editor, and you know the environment in which I live, that was a big change. So, and then there's always been this talk of Apple could just buy Avid. So Avid, you know, make Media Composer, which is the biggest editor in Hollywood, and you know cuts most films and TV shows. Mm. And if Apple, it scares me that because it's true, Avid's a publicly traded company, and Apple could entirely, without even really shedding much pocket change, buy Avid.
Yep.
And that would be, and you know, and I can, I, you know, if they actually cared about the professional video market anymore, which is now clear that they don't. But during the time when it looked like they did, if they'd done that, then they would have just, you know, they would completely buy it and take a few good things out of it and shut it down. And it's but, that but sort of
thing. Surely someone else would create the you know, or would fill the gap.
No. Sony. I mean, yeah, eventually. But
Sony have already filled the gap. But Sony is Sony. They fuck things up more than anyone. Just for, yeah, for no apparent reason.
I don't know. Apple's in such a dominant position now that I find it quite scary as a company. You know, where it used to be that Microsoft was always the evil empire in computing, it's so not anymore. Like, it is, you know, even people I know who are Apple fans are starting to get really uncomfortable about Apple.
Someone in the chat room said Apple created nothing really new for a long time now, but they've created the tablet PC market, or the tablet OS market out of nothing.
Well, have they? Did they create it though, or did
absolutely.
They?
Absolutely. What you look at it. What was it before the iPad?
It was no, Microsoft.
What?
Yeah, it was Microsoft. Microsoft had tablets. Yeah. Tablets for a decade.
So what Apple does is they take
Without any significant market. That's, you know, I mean, I'm a Microsoft fanboy through and through, but.
So they refined it and made it a product that was more marketable, and that's what Apple does. But at the cost of, certainly for more advanced users, at the cost of usability.
Let's get a complete Apple fanboy on the show to balance this out a little bit. Leighton, get on Skype and I'll add you. But just make sure you mute the live broadcast before we start.
No, because the things, oh yeah, it'll confuse him. Yeah, I don't know.
Leighton makes a good point. Sorry, they created the iPad market. There is no tablet market. That's correct. I mean, whatever Microsoft was trying to do with pens and you know, full-blown Windows just wasn't working.
Well, no, it does, and it does work. It works for some industries. There were lots of some industries that those particular types of tablet computers were really popular, and they've more or less ceased to exist now in the face of the iPad, and it's to the detriment of the people who were using those products. Whether that's it's a small fry thing, but it's kind of what happens.
Mm.
So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I find the specter of Apple a little scary in that they are such a dominant company. They seem so... Well, not they're anti-competitive, obviously, but they're also I say anti-consumer. I don't really mean anti-consumer. What I mean is they're very dictatorial, very prescriptive.
They're definitely not anti-consumer. I think a lot of people would say that they have a good experience using Apple.
Of course,
but I understand exactly what you say when you talk about them being prescriptive. They don't seem to engage. They seem to design a system which they believe will work best, and then force people to work in with that system. And that seems to work really well for some people, and other people, you know, they're just happy to have quite a pretty laptop.
And
I think that's part of it as well. You've got to say though that they got portable devices really right. The innovative thing with the iPhone was not the form factor, because it looks exactly the same as lots of smartphones had looked for, you know, the best part of a decade. It looks the same as an iPad, right? And it's not even apps, because heaps of devices had apps. It's just kind of the combination of making the App Store experience really quite easy, getting lots of developers on board, and I think that was the innovation.
Yeah, and that was. I mean, that's, you know, and that's the thing. I had a phone before iPhone came out. I had a phone where I could, you know, download apps. They were harder to find, but it ran apps and it did things like that. I didn't have a touchscreen on my phone, but yeah. I mean, Apple hasn't, typically, I don't think anyway, innovated a lot. What they've done is taken ideas and put them together in a way that works for a large number of consumers, or is very saleable.
Yeah. All right. So while we wait for Leighton to find some headphones, we've got some feedback on the live show from Twitter. And also a question from Lewis, and I don't know how to pronounce Lewis's surname. It might be Beng or it might be Benj.
Benj, I think.
Lewis Benj, at Lewis Benj on Twitter. Ben, discourse, did you get my entry? Lewis, yes, we did. Your entry was bullshit.
There were several bullshit entries which didn't have anything, any ideas in them at all.
Yeah. Yeah, we got, so Lewis's entry, I'm going to read it out, Lewis. I hope you're not embarrassed. I didn't listen. I'm just making Ben feel loved and need a new phone. Listen,
how do we make that into a competition?
Lewis.
I like that.
Oh, hello. I'm on the internet. Oh, it's good old Robin. Robin, you could be on the show if you Skyped in, because you could probably beat Leighton to the punch. We got entries from people saying things like their idea for a competition was Bell, lol, Bell, lol.
You should have seen when I had a giveaway that I talked about on TVNZ Breakfast, you should have seen I thought I had a simple question.
Yeah.
One, you know, for the skill question. Oh my God. The general public are numbskulls.
Yeah. We got a hell of a lot of really good suggestions. I just think they are impractical.
Yes.
There was a few that were quite good but are very Auckland-centric, which I thought was
a problem. That's right. Considering the competition was actually more complicated in some respects, more creative than a lot of competitions, we got heaps more entries than I expected.
There's one entry that I particularly liked. It's formed in a range of rules.
Yeah.
it's hard to explain. There was one step two was a fluffy animal is dosed with a single particle of radioactive isotope, the half life of which is precisely the length of the competition. The kitten is then released into the field of play.
Yeah, I did like that one because it was basically saying they were going to win the competition by creating an impossible competition.
Yeah.
Yeah. It it involved a hand drawn QR code and a solid steel div.
Excellent entry, but it's not a competition we could run. Also, no, it did involve Rick Astley.
It amused me greatly. So that's almost, I mean, you know, if it was to create a competition that amuses us the most, totally.
If only we had more phones.
Well, as far as I know, there's a never-ending supply of phones to give away. So let's talk about cameras while Polar Bear Farm Leighton is hunting.
Nah, let's do it offline.
Did I hear... I haven't listened to... This Week in Tech for a long time, but he's set up a new studio. Apparently he's just using Canon HF10s.
Right. Sure, why not?
Yeah.
I set up for a company a friend of mine works for, James's...
But they're little handy cams, well. Right?
Yeah, so I set up... I suppose they're doing video podcasts, is what you'd call it, for a company in Auckland. And basically, they're just using a couple of consumer cameras and some lights. I got some good lights and some good microphones, and that's the main thing. Right. The camera, like know your audience. There's no need to go crazy. Those cameras make a good picture, and they're easy to operate, and they're cheap. Mm. They're not as versatile as something you'd spend a lot more money on, but they don't need to be. So why not?
Fair enough.
Can anyone remember Leighton Duncan's Skype password? Maybe we can see if Rupert Murdoch's got it.
Leighton, it's P455W0RDLOL.
L-O-L. Is that camel case? Is that random? Is that all uppercase or lowercase? Is there any punctuation?
It's all lowercase. I don't know why I didn't put any uppercase letters in there.
Are there any spaces?
There's an exclamation mark and an ampersand in there somewhere as well.
I'm going to leave you guys to it, though, because I've got to go and prepare for fucking talks and stuff.
So, I think we're probably going to leave ourselves to it.
Good. Have a good night, everyone.
Thank you once again, Ben.
Light brothers.
Thank you once again.
I think...
Don't forget to rewind the tape.
Ben, don't forget to rewind.
I won't. Thanks, guys. See ya.
Don't let the door hit your ass on the way out.
Oh, John, he says what we're all thinking.
He's so rude.
About Ben's staying power sometimes.
Yeah. I think that we wake him up briefly just before the show, and then he goes to sleep.
You're listening to Extra Large on Discourse.
Hey, tune in next week. We mentioned it already, but you'll hear cool guy Paul Brislin.
Yeah, cool guy now. He used to be not a cool guy, really.
Well, he was. What was he? He was a journalist at PC World First.
He was a spin. Oh, okay. Well, if you go far enough back, sure.
Yeah, so he was a cool guy, and then he was a PR hack, and now he's a...
Cool guy again.
Cool guy again.
Possibly even more cool than ever.
And then after that, we have a guest the next week as well, which I don't know if we'll announce that one yet, but there you go.
We shouldn't pre-announce that quite so far in advance, because it's almost certainly going to fall over.
No, it won't. He's keen.
Well, yeah, I know. He said he was 10 inches ago, but... You know.
He's put it in his diary, bro.
All right. Well,
we're in the diary.
All right. Is there anything else that we need to do out of the list?
Did we discuss the Surgeon Barber Butcher lawnmower repairman thing?
Yeah, we did that when we did...
Corrections.
Corrections.
We should get a hold of a surgeon to discuss this, actually, and find out why they're called Mr.
Corrections.
That's everything. That's everything on our list done.
You're
every single thing.
Extra large on discourse.
All right. I don't even know. I guess this is extra large, so I won't even cut it. I'll just leave it like that, and we'll end it right here.
There.
Fish and chips.
This show is cancelled. Beep.
Don't forget to rewind the tape.